Good morning. Welcome to the Message of Truth. My name's Keith Greer. Thank you for listening to our radio program this morning. We are endeavoring to answer your Bible questions. We encourage you to write your questions to the Harrisburg Church of Christ, 1369 U.S. 127 Bypass, Harrisburg, Kentucky, 40330. We will endeavor to give you a scriptural answer for every Bible question you ask. We ask you to just listen with an open mind and open Bible, examine the things that we say. If you have any further questions, please don't hesitate to ask. Encourage you to visit our website, churchofchrist@harrisburg.com. You will find many valuable resources that will aid you in your study of God's Word. Continue to come and worship with us when you have time and opportunity. Our meeting times are at Sundays, 9:30 for Bible study, 10:30 for morning worship, and again at 6:30 for evening worship. We also have midweek Bible study at 7 p.m. We also encourage you to check out our new facility at the address that we have previously given. This morning's question comes from 2 John chapter 9. The questioner says, can you explain what is meant by the phrase, the doctrine of Christ in 2 John 9? Does it include all the teaching or just about his person? Well, let us begin by reading the passage. In 2 John, beginning in verse 9, whoever transgresses and does not abide in the doctrine of Christ does not have God. He who abides in the doctrine of Christ has both the Father and the Son. If anyone does not come to you and bring this doctrine, do not receive him or into your house nor greet him, for he who greets him shares in his evil deeds. These set of verses have been under discussion for various years by various students of God's Word. There are two primary understandings of what is taught. Number one, this means the teaching that we have to do with Jesus Christ coming in the flesh. This includes all the teaching of Christ contained in His Word. Those are the two camps. Well, let us examine and see if we can arrive at the proper understanding of John's statement. Just a few verses ahead of these verses, John would write in verse 9, I rejoice greatly that I have found some of your children walking in truth as we received the commandment from the Father. And now I plead with you, lady, not as though I wrote a new commandment to you, but that which you have from the beginning, that we love one another. This is the love that we walk according to his commandments. Now, we've read the passages for verse 9 through 11. We want to look at the text and context very carefully here. In verse 4, we find the context walking in truth. That truth certainly includes the coming of Jesus in the flesh, verse 7. The Apostle John also taught this truth in his gospel, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, in John 1, verse 14. Yet remember the words of Jesus' prayer to his Father, sanctify them by your truth, your Word is truth, John 17, 17. Thus, the truth is not limited to the fact of Jesus coming in the flesh. It is part of the teaching, it is not the only teaching. The phrase, this teaching, this doctrine in the King James, in verse 10, refers to the teaching of Christ, verse 9. What does this mean in this verse 9? The prepreposition of, in this passage, can mean either the teaching about Christ, his coming in the flesh, or it can mean the teaching from Christ, which he has authorized. Which is it in this passage? Let us look at some other passages which uses this phrase for some clarification. And in vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrine the commandments of men. Matthew 15:9. Does this imply mean the teaching about men? No, but the teaching which men have given as religious, as scriptural. On another occasion, Jesus warned the disciples. Then they understood that he did not tell them to beware of the leaven of bread, but of the doctrine of the Pharisees and Sadducees. Matthew 16:12. Again, he meant the teaching, those things taught by the Pharisees and Sadducees. Paul, when he was preaching to the proconsul in Acts 13, then the proconsul believed when he saw what he had done and been astonished at the teaching of the Lord, Acts 13:12. Did Paul preach just about the Lord, or did he teach the word that Christ had given? Honestly, leaves us but one answer. The same use of the word teaching is found in numerous passages. John also wrote the book of Revelation and wrote this as he was directed by Christ. But I have a few things against you because you have those who hold to the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to put a stumbling block before the children of Israel, to eat those things sacrificed to idols, and to commit sexual immorality. Thus you also have those who hold to the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, which I hate. Revelation 2:14-15. Were they teaching about Balaam and the Nicolaitans? No. They were teaching what they had taught. What is many times overlooked in the text of 2 John 9-11 is that all three verses are tied together. Look again at verse 11. For he who greets him shares in his evil deed. This basic principle is stated in many places in the sacred scriptures. It has to do with the subject of fellowship, to give greeting, to acknowledge, and the fellowship that does not indeed exist if one is outside of Christ. Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my fellow workers in Christ. Romans 16:3. Does this mean just to say hello? No. It acknowledges that a fellowship exists in Christ and should be accepted. The same ideal of fellowship is also found in 1 Corinthians 6:9-20. The churches of Asia salute you. All the brethren salute you. Salute one another with a holy kiss. Now look closely at verse 10 of 2 John. If anyone does not come to you and does not bring this doctrine, do not receive him in your house nor greet him. To receive one is to extend fellowship, including sharing food, shelter, and encouragement. This is also seen in John's warning concerning theophracies in 3 John verse 10. This also in the context of 2 John 9-11. What is the principle found in these passages? To receive one is to give greeting, to extend fellowship. Yet extending fellowship can also be a good thing under the right circumstances. It depends on who it is and why you are doing it. I thank God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, making requests for you with joy that your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, Philippians 1:3-5. These brethren had supplied funds to Paul as he continued his labors, according to chapter 4 and verse 15 of Philippians. By so doing, they had fellowship with Paul in proclaiming the gospel. In like manner, what happens if I support a teacher of error? I have fellowship with that teacher and in his error. So many people want to explain these passages away so they can promote unity and diversity. In other words, we can agree to disagree. We don't all need to teach the same thing and preach the same thing. This we cannot do with God's approval. Do not lay hands on anyone hastily, nor share in other people's sins. Keep yourself pure, 1 Timothy 5:22. To join in someone in their sin is to be a partaker with them. Many want to say that we just have to agree on the things which are taught concerning Christ, his deity, his humanity. While we indeed must believe the truth on these topics, so much we also about all of his teaching. From this, my study, the correct application of these verses is the doctrine of Christ or the teachings of Christ. Anything that originated and is from and authorized by Christ as the supreme authority in heaven and earth, Matthew 28:18. Let me go on to add one point. Every time I move to a new city, I'm invited to become part of an evangelical fellowship. An evangelical fellowship is a group of individuals who band together from various denominations and religions and get together once a month for a breakfast or for a lunch, and they have a central speaker. They talk about each other's work, and then they pray for one another and their work. I've never been in a new city, and Harrisburg is no exception, that I have not been asked to be a part of that particular organization. And as I tried to explain, the person who asked me in this city that I cannot have participation in that because all of us are not teaching the doctrine of Christ. They say, oh, well, that doesn't matter. We all believe in Christ. We all have relationship in Christ. Yet I would take issue with that. I do not believe that all people, because they claim to love Christ, because they believe he existed, because they believe he died and buried and was resurrected, and now is the right hand of God, then in and of itself, believing those facts, does not believe that you're teaching the doctrine of Christ. To teach the doctrine of Christ means to teach all that the gospel says. You have to teach the whole counsel of God. Acts 26:27. To teach the whole counsel of God, you've got to teach all that God says on every subject. Dear listener, How could I, as a gospel preacher, striving to preach Christ and Him crucified, and to preach the doctrine of Christ, go into a setting and go into an organization that has many who are teaching things contrary to God's will, or leaving various things out of their teaching that they, in their theology, do not agree with in God, and then I'm to go and participate with them, and not only participate with them, but pray that they would have success in their work. It's absolutely ludicrous. I couldn't do that even if I wanted to do that. Why? Because we are not all teaching and serving the Lord Jesus. I know that is not popular. And I know whenever I try to explain this to people who I differ with, they just look at me like I came from another planet. But dear listener, read the book. We must abide in the doctrine of Christ. We must teach the things contained in the doctrine of Christ. That means I have to teach immorality. I have to oppose abortion. I have to oppose homosexuality. I have to oppose infidelity and adultery. Why? Because God says that it is sin. God says that it is wrong. It is not a political issue. It is a moral issue, and God says it is wrong. I know it's not popular, but if I'm looking for popularity, then I'm looking in the wrong place to look in the gospel. I must oppose social drinking. I must oppose gambling. I must oppose all form of worldly lust. Yes, I know the majority of people like it. They participate in it. But I must oppose it. Why? Because it's in the doctrine of Christ. I must teach that there is one church. There is one faith. There is one standard. There is one Lord. And there is one hope in Christ. Why? Because that's what the scripture teaches in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1 through 6. I must teach that Christ is the head of His church. Why? Because Ephesians 1, 22 and 23 teach that. I must teach that because it's necessary in order to teach the whole doctrine of Christ. Yes, I know that people don't like it, and I know that it's not popular, but it is according to the doctrine of Christ. And so, the questionnaire says, how can I preach the doctrine of Christ? You have to preach the things that are authorized by Christ. And everything that's authorized by Christ is found in His Word. Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. John 8, verse 32. The truth is contained in the gospel of Christ. It is the perfect law of liberty, James 1, verse 25. And we are encouraged by that teaching to be not just a hearer of that word, but also a doer, James chapter 1, verse 22. Ladies and gentlemen, to teach the doctrine of Christ, you must teach all things that are contained in the word of the gospel. All of it is inspired. All of it is infallible. All of it is things that we need to know in order to please our Master and our Savior in heaven. I suggest to you this morning, dear listener, that you open up your Bible and quit listening to the theology of men and quit trying to fit your belief by picking out a scripture or two. Look at the context. Look at who is talking. Look at who is being spoken to, and look at what the discussion is under consideration when you read a passage of Scripture. To teach the doctrine of Christ is to teach the teaching of Christ, all of them in their truth and in their simplicity. We encourage you to come and study those simplistic Scriptures and truth with us this morning. Thank you for listening. Tune in again next week.